Twitchell's Book One, Dwindling Magic. Written and read by T.D. L. White. Chapter 15. The Setup. After the late night, Nick was not happy when his phone alarm woke him at 7 a.m. on Saturday morning. He groaned and cursed himself for not turning it off the night before. Then, just as he rolled over and tried to get back to sleep, the details from the story he'd been told started to unfold in his mind. The Green Hands Gang, that was what Jenny said they called themselves. She, James and Elf were not the only members of the gang. There were others that could be called upon. And now Nick was part of it too. So much of their story seemed hard to believe. Underneath Brighton were huge caverns that spread throughout the deep sewers, where giant rats lived in a rickety wooden town built over an underground lake. This subterranean world was accessed by another magic key, the Squidduckin Key, which opened up secret doors spread around the city. There was a third key. Nick couldn't remember what it was called, just that they'd found it in a giant badger's mouth, and it gave them access to other places on land. One such place was a museum, where the gang once became trapped while being chased by a huge wolf. A wolf that had pursued Elf across the sea from Norway, where she was searching for clues left by her parents. And the same wolf became their friend and accompanied Elf on her second attempt to find her parents, which ended with her being forced to work in a circus somewhere in Asia. It was the wolf who introduced them to the snake called Rask, which had bitten James on the finger with a poison so powerful he would have died in seconds if the quick-thinking squirrel assassin hadn't bitten off a chunk of his flesh. No-tail. That was the squirrel's name. But it hadn't managed to save James. The poison had remained in his blood, where even a tiny amount would eventually kill him. He had taken an antidote, which worked perfectly for years, right up until a few months ago, when James started feeling ill every time he spent time away from Brighton. That was the reason they didn't stay over at Twitchell's. After a night there, James would begin to succumb to the venom in his blood. By travelling back to Brighton, he would recover enough to spend the next day at school without feeling bad at all. Nick wasn't sure how he could possibly help them. Elf had already spent 4 years searching for her parents in places that Nick hadn't even heard of. And he was certain that his knowledge of medicine, which consisted entirely of knowing which drawer at home the paracetamol was kept in, would be of little help to James. A weak grey light was streaming in through the windows. Nick gave up on the idea of going back to sleep and sat up on the bed. He got dressed and went downstairs to the kitchen. The house was silent. The hard floor was cold through his thin socks. Nick reached out to turn his laptop on and noticed that the back door was ajar. Elf was outside, sitting on the edge of the decking, wrapped in a blanket with her back to the house. A black and white cat sauntered away through the long grass toward the bottom of the garden. Nick stepped out into the brisk morning air. Elf turned and smiled, tapping the decking next to her with a palm. He sat down, his feet on the step below. The garden sloped gently away from them for at least 100 feet to the tall evergreen trees at the far end. It was mostly long grass edged by unkempt bushes, and although the backs of the neighbouring houses were tall enough to overlook it, it would be almost impossible for anyone to spot a portal, especially at night near the bottom of the trees. The cat disappeared from view. Here. Elf was holding a mug in one hand and held the blanket open with the other, making a space for Nick. He slid over and pulled the blanket round his shoulders, inadvertently pulling Elf toward him. "Careful," she said, tilting the mug to keep it from spilling. She shuffled up closer to him so the blanket reached around. "That's better. You want some?" "It's not poison, it's coffee," I'll have some tea in a bit. His granddad drank coffee each morning, but Nick avoided the stuff. Thanks for sticking up for me, yesterday.
Well, we're not exactly squeaky clean ourselves. Certainly not me. Or James. And you don't want to see Jenny when she's angry.
Nick nodded, remembering the way Jenny had stepped up to Collier on his first day. You think I'm going to be much help? I mean, I'll do what I can, but you heard what I said. I'm not the world's greatest hacker or anything.
I haven't seen my parents in years, and James needs all the help he can get. And we'll need more than just your laptop skills. There's real danger out there.
Like poisonous snakes that want to kill you? Nick shuddered.
Rask didn't want to kill James. He was just protecting Ralph. He's actually a very nice snake. And when you're a young girl traveling across the world, it's a very good thing to have a deadly snake up your sleeve.
The wind ruffled her dark fringe. Nick couldn't imagine what it was like for Elf on her journeys. He'd never even been out of the country before. Elf finished her coffee.
Come on, the others will be up soon, and I think we'll want to head to the Dewpond nice and early.
After filling the kettle, Nick sat down at the table and opened his laptop. He hadn't had a chance to work on his new idea from the night before, as all his attention had been taken up by listening to the adventures of the Green Hands gang. He kept his focus on his laptop as the others came down, had breakfast, and got ready to leave. James was leafing through a tatty notebook while eating a piece of peanut buttered toast. Ah, he said, I think this is the one with the Dupont symbol in it. Well, the top of Wild Park, which is close enough. He started copying out symbols into his newest notebook using the key to the air. After about half a dozen portals had slowly opened and closed by the end of the table, James seemed to find the right one. This is it, he said. I mean, a little high, but I can work on that. He dropped the quill and turned the corner of the page over. Nick looked up from his laptop and saw the top of a forest through the closing portal. By watching James and asking a few questions, he'd learned a few things about how portals were conjured. The speed of drawing made a difference to the height of the portal above the ground and how fast it grew. And so did the type of ink, the paper, the fluency of movement, and more. Along with the missing portal book, it turned out that there was also a mentor who was working with James, but Nick hadn't seen any sign of them, nor anybody else in the house. After breakfast was cleared away, they talked about the plan to lure Collier out into the open.
Claudia said Zen and Bobby would meet us by the pond, Elf said.
The names didn't mean anything to Nick, but the Green Hands gang had plenty of other kids in it. He finished writing a simple script and saved it to the running configuration of the SSTag geolocator server. It'll be good to see them again, Jenny said. I guess we take the badge up to the pond and then wait for Collier, James said. We can do shifts, make sure there's always someone watching out for him. If he takes the bait, Jenny said, he might not even show up at all. We could be waiting all day and night. Nick cleared his throat. I think I can help with that, he said. Or at least the geolocator server can. I've set up an alert that will tell us if Collier leaves Twitchell. If he goes more than a kilometre away from school, I'll get a message on my phone. That's great, James said. Save us from getting cold hanging around the woods. Isn't that a little risky? Jenny said with a frown. What if someone notices the system is sending you alerts? They might warn Collier. I'm 99% sure that Collier's getting his data from a different server, Nick said, and I've been careful not to make it too obvious. I'm scraping the logs of the server. I've not touched the actual SSTag geolocator application. And if Collier leaves his ID badge behind, James asked. Yeah, Nick nodded. That would mess this up. I've been watching the data, and Collier's badge has already been moving this morning. But if he leaves it at Twitchell's, that could be an issue. He had another idea. How long is the drive from Twitchell's to here? About an hour, James said. Maybe more in traffic. Nick started writing a new script. I can set up a second alert that gets triggered if his badge doesn't move for half an hour. That way, if he leaves it behind, we'll still have half an hour to get ready.
And if he goes to sleep or leaves his badge in his room while he goes to the gym? Elf said.
Yeah, well, it's not perfect, Nick said.
It's good enough, Jenny said. We can live with the false alarms. As long as we've got some warning, we can still be ready for him.
Oh, and I managed to set up a new logging routine too, Nick said. It stores a live data snapshot every 5 minutes, so we can look at where people have been any time from now onwards.
Would have been good to have that set up on Tuesday, James said. Then we'd know that Collier definitely took the portal book.
Elf nodded. Let's get moving. I don't know how long Zen and Bobby will wait around for us.
There were three ways they could get to the Dewpond. Open a portal, get the bus, or walk. Jenny thought that the portal would be risky. There was always a possibility that dog walkers might be nearby. She also thought they all needed some exercise. Nick understood this to mean everyone else needed some exercise. Jenny did more than enough already. The day was cold but not wet, and the 40-minute walk would have been fine, except it was uphill the whole way. After half an hour, they were out of town and walking a well-trodden path through trees to the side of the road. But not for long, as the path took them out into fields. The second field they crossed had well-trimmed grass, and Nick spotted a little flagpole.
"We're on a golf course," he asked.
"Yeah, but not a posh one. It's kind of public," James said. "And there's paths all over it, all around the hill fort." Nick looked around. He couldn't see any golfers or any hill fort.
"We're going to skirt around the course," James said. "The Dewpond's down the hill from the fort. And the fort's not really anything special, just a big ditch around the top of the hill."
"I still don't like being so close to the hill fort," Jenny said.
"I think we're fine," James assured her. "We're just going to be on the normal paths. The king can't get annoyed about that."
The king under the fort, Nick recalled, was some kind of grumpy old badger that the gang were avoiding. They kept walking in silence. Cece was back in her grey fur disguise and riding on James's shoulder. After they crossed another fairway, the path led them alongside a thorny-looking hedge. Up ahead, a real dog walker was heading toward them. A black dog off the lead came bounding along the path. Cece hopped down into James's arms. The real dog ran excitedly up to them, jumping around James to get a better look at Cece.
"Here, boy," Jenny said, deftly catching the dog's collar and gently dragging it away from James.
"You're a good dog." She rubbed its back with her free hand while keeping a tight grip on the collar. The owner of the dog, a middle-aged woman in a long coat that came down to her ankles, reached them.
"Morning," she said. "I hope Jelly didn't bother you. He's ever so friendly."
She took a closer look at Cece.
"What breed is that?" she asked.
"Cece's a Chinese cross," Elf said. "And she's too old to get up this hill on her own. We take turns carrying her."
The woman seemed satisfied with the answer.
"It's much easier in this direction. Come on, Jelly. We've got breakfast to get."
When there was a good distance between the woman and them, Nick asked,
"Is Cece a Chinese cross?"
"Cece's a monkey," Elf said.
"But I do think she might be Chinese. I first met her in India."
So many lies, and so confidently told. Nick was used to keeping things secret, but his main tactic was just to stay silent. He only had to protect his hacking, though. He didn't have to look after a monkey in plain sight. When they got there, the Dewpond was not much to look at. A large round pond in the middle of a sparse wooded strip that ran from the hill fort down into a larger forest. A muddy path ran around the edge of the brown, uninviting water. The wind had picked up and was pushing a couple of large sticks from one side to the other. Nick put his hands in his pockets to keep them warm. They walked a lap around the pond, then James showed them a little clearing on the north side. A thorny bushed area where a big old log made for a decent seat. He took his foil-covered ID badge out of his pocket and unwrapped it before stuffing it into one end of the log.
"And now all we need to do is wait," James said.
"Any alerts yet?"
"It's only been a few seconds since you unwrapped the badge," Jenny said.
Nick checked his phone anyway.
"Nothing." The wind tugged at his thin T-shirt, and he wished he'd brought his school gown with him. The others all had more sensible clothing, coats or fleeces. All Nick had, other than his school uniform, was his jeans and a few T-shirts. No sign of Zen and Bobby either, James said.
They're here somewhere, Elf said. Sisi, go see if you can find them.
The monkey happily leapt down from James's shoulder and disappeared into the woodland. Why don't we leave the badge here and go back to Elf's, Jenny said. No point standing around in the cold. Been a while since I came up here, James said. I'd like to stay here for a bit, and it would be good to talk to Zen and Bobby to fill them in on the plan.
Just don't go near the hill fort, Jenny said. You know the rules.
Elf, Nick, you coming back or staying?
I'll come back, Nick said quickly.
You must be freezing, Jenny said. You do know it's autumn.
Nick nodded.
I'll stay here, Elf said. Nice for Sisi to have the run of the woods.
Jenny and Nick left Elf and James by the pond and walked back the same way they'd come.
Who are Zen and Bobby? Nick asked, glad to be moving again.
Oh, yeah, I forget that you don't know everything. Sorry. Zen and Bobby are old friends. They're mercenary rats.
Rats, Nick said, worry creeping into his voice. Nobody said anything about having rats around.
They're really nice ones, Jenny said reassuringly. I think of them more like small friends with weapons.
Rats with weapons?
This was getting worse. Nick's only experience with rats was around the back of his granddad's block of flats. He could always hear them scratching away when he took the rubbish out. Once, a big black rat had been sitting on the wheelie bin's lid, and he hadn't noticed until he was right next to it. He'd almost touched it before shouting in surprise and jumping back. The rat had just sat there like he didn't exist. In the end, he'd thrown the rubbish bag at it and run away.
My granddad says they're vermin, he said quietly.
Zen and Bobby aren't vermin. I'm sure you'll like them. She sounded confident, but Nick wasn't convinced. The walk back down the hill was much quicker and easier than the walk up it. There was an added bonus that a small bakery called Rook's was open, and they stopped to pick up some bread and cakes for lunch. Back at Elf, Jenny started a workout on the bike, and Nick got back on his laptop. He checked on his alert scripts, then opened the SSTag GeoID server connection. Collier was still up and about, currently in the dining hall with Hector. Nick zoomed all the way out and found James's badge up by the dewpond. Hopefully Collier was looking at that too. By the time Elf and James came back, Nick had caught up with some of his gaming admin duties, and Jenny had finished cycling, weights, and some box jumping. Her cheeks were glowing red, and she was wiping sweat off a kettlebell. We need to get another multi-tool, James said, sitting down at the table.
You saw Zen? Jenny asked.
Yeah, and Bobby too. He wants another cricket bat. I can borrow one from Twitchell's for him.
They seemed excited about the assignment, Elf said. Or excited about something.
Probably the prospect of getting paid in human equipment, Jenny said.
The rats play cricket? Nick asked.
No, James said. Bobby'll probably use it like a club.
How can a rat hold a cricket bat? Nick asked, trying to keep his voice level, but some of his fear must have crept in. How big are they?
Everyone looked at him with interest. Even Cece's eyebrows seemed to be raised.
What? He said defensively. I don't like rats much. It's not that weird. Lots of people don't like rats.
They're pretty big, Jenny said, casting a quick look at James.
Yeah, James said. They're not small or anything.
You get used to them, Elf said with a shrug. Think of them more like small furry football hooligans.
They like football, Nick said with surprise.
No, Elf shook her head. They like to start fights.
He wasn't sure if she was joking. James and Jenny just nodded. Nick began to hope that his plan turned out to be a dud. Unfortunately for him, it did exactly what they wanted.
This podcast was brought to you by me, T.D.L. White. I'll be reading a chapter a week until it's complete.